19. Mattis later described for others what it was like to attend meetings with Trump. It is very difficult to have a discussion with the president. If an intel briefer was going to start a discussion with the president, they were only a couple sentences in, and it could go off on what I kind of irreverently call those Seattle freeway off-ramps to nowhere, shoot off onto another subject. So it was not where you could take him to 30,000 feet. You could try, but then something that had been said on Fox News or something was more salient to him. So you just had to deal with it. He'd been voted in, and our job was not to take a political or partisan position. It was, how do you govern this country and try to keep this experiment alive for one more year? Mattis frequently used a phrase coined by George Kennan, the father of the doctrine to contain the Soviet Union. The treacherous curtain of deference that comes down when someone is around high-level officials, especially presidents. In Trump's case, there were additional impediments to connecting and communicating with the president. Mattis said beyond that sense of, oh my gosh, I'm in the Oval Office, advisors had to push past the additional curtains of Fox News, of his formative years. Those are long-held beliefs, so those were the real curtains. Because I saw Rex Tillerson and Dan Coats and Mike Pompeo at CIA and certainly Gina Haspel, myself, quite willing to come up with the facts. Joe Dunford never hesitated on it. Neither did H.R. McMaster or Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin. But the facts would be dismissed, and we'd be off on one of those ramps that circled around and started going. And then you're sitting there, and it's not deference at that point. It's grasping for a way to get it back on subject. And it was just very hard. And there wasn't a lot of time for it. Mattis had repeatedly reminded the president that 77 nations and international organizations were fighting ISIS, the Islamic State, primarily in Syria. 13 of those nations have military troops, Mattis noted. What about the other nations? Trump asked. Who was ripping him off? The others are giving money, intelligence, Mattis said. They're supporting programs, all sorts of things. Remember, for every one of our troops that died in Syria, 1,000 Kurds have died in Syria. Actually, it was more. It is in our interest to keep fighting. Trump had promised to defeat ISIS in the presidential campaign, and Mattis had urged a war of no less than annihilation, a concept Trump loved and vigorously approved. On December 6, 2018, Mattis was in Ottawa for a meeting of the 13 defense ministers of the nations contributing troops to the ISIS fight. His chief talking point? They needed to stay in the fight. Every country needs to stay. We meet at a great time, Canadian Defense Minister Harjit Sajjan started off at the closed-door meeting. We can say how great this alliance has been. We've broken ISIS's back. But it isn't over. Mattis was sitting next to him, quite happy to be indoors with the temperature outside hovering around freezing. We must not declare victory, said France's Minister of the Armed Forces, Florence Parly, leaning forward, and walk away and wonder why it comes right back at it. On the verge of victory was the time to stay the course and avoid the temptation of a premature withdrawal. Everyone seemed to be nodding. It is critical at this point that we not take our eye off the ball, said the British minister. Perfect, thought Mattis. Everyone was on board. He could ignore his written talking points. He wouldn't have to say a word. The sale was made. Finally, the meeting was turned over to him as the representative of the lead nation. Mattis summarized the others' points and said he couldn't agree more strongly. They then all discussed how they would keep their troops there, the exact words to explain the essential rationale underlying their plans. They had to persist because the fight against ISIS was not over. My God, this is great, Mattis thought. He called White House Chief of Staff John Kelly. John, the nations are with us. They're not pulling. They're going to stay on the ground. It's time to force it into the Geneva peace process. to support the Kurds who had done most of the fighting. I'll talk to Mike Pompeo. Back in Washington on Wednesday, December 19th, Mattis saw a tweet pop up from the president. "We have defeated ISIS in Syria. My only reason for being there during the Trump presidency." Later that day, Trump released a one-minute video and tweet underscoring his earlier message. "After historic victories against ISIS, it's time to bring our great young people home." The United States was withdrawing from Syria. The brief video, complete with title cards and high production values, showed Trump standing outside the White House discussing the heartbreaking task of writing letters to the families of the fallen. "We won," Trump said in the video, "and that's the way we want it. And that's the way they," he pointed to the heavens, "want it." Mattis was shocked. Once again, Trump had not consulted his Secretary of Defense and made a major announcement with no warning. His first thought, how could we break with our allies? His second was the timing. It was just 2 weeks after the Ottawa meeting with all the commitments and pledges. He sat there and thought, my God, they're going to think I lied to them. They won't believe that I had no idea about this. And now, we're going to leave them high and dry. We're going to do what Obama did when he said, we're going after the Syrians for the chemical weapons use, and the French planes were armed, they were ready to go, when he walked. And the Kurds were going to be left unprotected and possibly slaughtered by Turkey. John, Mattis said in a call to John Kelly, I need an hour with the boss. You got it, said Kelly. Mattis figured that Kelly knew what it was about, but the chief of staff, who had been blindsided by the president so many times and announced 10 days earlier that he would soon be leaving, did not ask. 9 months earlier, Mattis had watched Rex Tillerson be fired by tweet. The decision announcements by tweet were all wrong in Mattis's view. Trump lived in his own head, and if he wanted, out came an idea or a decision. It did not matter what anybody else thought. Mattis once said, in any organization, you become complicit with what the organization is doing. For nearly 2 years, Mattis had gone along. As the commander-in-chief, Trump called the shots. Mattis decided he was no longer going to be complicit. He went to his Pentagon office and began writing his resignation letter. Just in case he was successful in rolling back the president's announced decision, he didn't want anyone to have a copy of the letter. He had successfully changed the president's mind, at least temporarily, on Afghanistan and some other matters. It had never been pretty, but he knew he was not paid for pretty. He thought there was a chance he would come back from a meeting with Trump and still be Secretary of Defense. He asked a trusted senior member of his staff to type the resignation letter. There were only 2 copies. One went with him, and one stayed in his desk. At the White House, Mattis found the president in a good mood. They walked into the Oval Office and sat down. Mr. President, we've got to come to an understanding here. This enemy is not going away. He noted that he had been through this before, when Obama walked away from Iraq. These terrorist groups regenerate. The U.S. military had to win not just the fighting, but the peace. Our allies are there, and we can force this thing to closure now if we still have traction, if we still have our troops there. Mattis was like a broken record, repeating that the strongest military presence gave the diplomats the leverage to speak with authority. Work with the diplomats. Avoid the use of additional military force. You guys will have us fighting forever, Trump said. No, Mattis said. The Kurds have done the fighting. Let's be right up front. It's cost us billions. Well, a lot of other nations too. 77 nations plus Interpol, Arab League, NATO. Trump was not moving, Mattis could see. There was no give. He had decided, and that was it. Mattis had seen it before. Nothing. It was over. We beat them, Trump said. There's no need. We're not taking casualties, Mattis said, but we haven't beaten them. We've done the military part, now we have to win the part that's going to make sure we don't have to go back in, like your predecessor who pulled out of Iraq too early, and we have to go back in. Trump did not agree. Mattis knew he could only quit once. Mr. President, it's probably best you read this. He handed the letter to the president, who read, One core belief I have always held is that our strength as a nation is inextricably linked to the strength of our unique and comprehensive system of alliances and partnerships. While the U.S. remains the indispensable nation in the free world, we cannot protect our interests or serve that role effectively without maintaining strong alliances and showing respect to those allies. Because you have the right to have a Secretary of Defense whose views are better aligned with yours on these and other subjects, I believe it is right for me to step down from my position. It's not a real nice letter, the president said. Mr. President, if you and I don't agree that we're parting over the allies, the way we look at allies, then the press is going to come up rightly with 100 different reasons why I'm leaving. That's fair, Trump replied. Then Mattis delivered his central message. You're going to have to get the next Secretary of Defense to lose to ISIS. I'm not going to do it. Is the letter going to be public? The president asked. It's got to be public, Mattis replied. Number one, it'll leak if we don't do it. Just put the thing out there and say, this is all it is. Yeah, okay, Trump agreed. But they both knew it was a lot more. Trump walked Mattis to the door. They parted with what Mattis later called a non-adversarial handshake. No fireworks. In his car, Mattis called his chief of staff, retired Rear Admiral Kevin Sweeney. There's a letter in my top desk drawer. Have it released to the press. Tell all the senior staff I want to see them, the political staff, and the senior civilians. I need to see them in the conference room in the next 20 minutes. When they gathered in the conference room, Mattis said, It's crucial that none of you quit. Steady, steady, steady. Every enemy is looking at us now. We'll get through this. The deputy is sitting beside me. Deputy Secretary Patrick Shanahan had been in the job for more than a year. It's going to be a smooth turnover. I've offered to be here all the way through February, he said. That was almost 2 months away and would get them through the upcoming NATO meeting. You have to steady everyone now. And if someone wants to bring it up, say, yeah, that's interesting, but where are we on the budget? Oh yeah, that's interesting, but what about the deploying army unit? Just force them to focus. Soon, calls started flooding in from about 4 dozen senators and members of Congress. It was about 50-50 Republicans and Democrats, very bipartisan. Defense was largely bipartisan. Mattis believed he had good relations with most. He had attended the Senate lunches, the Republicans' only lunches and the Democrats' only lunches, trying to answer their questions. He'd been given a standing ovation at one of the Democrats' lunches. Sorry you are leaving was the common message. Mattis tried to say the same thing to each congressional caller, sometimes rather harshly. It's time for you to decide if you're a co-equal branch of government or if you're just going to talk like you're one. Mattis found that most acknowledged his observation and didn't fight it. I'm not here to tell you where to stand on an issue, Mattis said. But you seem to be awfully angry at times, and you have the power of the purse. So what are you doing about it? I've done everything I can. At 5:21 p.m., Trump tweeted, General Jim Mattis will be retiring with distinction at the end of February. General Mattis was a great help to me in getting allies and other countries to pay their share of military obligations. I greatly thank Jim for his service. But 3 days later, Trump said that Mattis would be leaving early on January 1st. At a cabinet meeting the next day, Trump said, What's he done for me? How has he done in Afghanistan? Not so good. I'm not happy with what he's done in Afghanistan, and I shouldn't be happy. Trump continued, As you know, President Obama fired him, and essentially, so did I. Later, he called Mattis the world's most overrated general. When I asked Trump about Mattis a year later, the president said Mattis was just a PR guy. Mattis summarized, When I was basically directed to do something that I thought went beyond stupid to felony stupid, strategically jeopardizing our place in the world and everything else, that's when I quit.